all have dreams, big and small, that create a life in our minds different than our reality. All the while, we watch others seemingly make it happen. I'm Rachel Denson, a farm girl turned mortgage guru, moonlighting as your self-help cheerleader. Together, we'll pull back the curtain with intentional conversations and discover how you get there. Hey friends, welcome to How You Get There. I am on an endless pursuit of calling other people, asking people that I see doing all the things. How do you do it? How do you get there? I think every single guest I have talked to, I've asked this question. And this week, I realized that if I'm asking other people this question, I should answer it myself. Because the reality is, we're all on our own journeys. We are all on our own endless pursuits. And there is never going to be a point to where I figure it out enough to share with you any more prepared than I am today. And the reality is, too, this is my podcast. So I can tell you about it this year, and then we can revisit again if I feel like I've made a huge turning point and have figured more stuff out. I talk about how much I enjoy having so many facets of my life on here a lot. And it made me realize that as surreal as it is, there are people that look at what all I am doing and are asking the same question of me that I'm asking from others. And when somebody answers my question and I have other questions because I need to know more, it hit me. I know exactly what I'm wanting people to get at, yet I've never taken the time to actually dig into it myself. So this episode is all about day-to-day how you get there. Day-to-day of, at least in Rachel's world, how I do what I do. And if you don't know me, you may think, well, before I know how you do, I need to know what you do. So I'm going to start by explaining that. So the reason why this is, I think, it's a challenge to me, and I think it's admirable to others that see me and other people like me balancing it, is because I do have a lot going on. So like my intro says, by day, I'm a mortgage lender, and I love my job. I love helping my clients, and I work a position that is not 8 to 5. When I'm helping people with their financial choices, getting things done in real estate, there are no business hours. So I have a job that I already work a flexible schedule. That has its, to me, it is a glass half full or glass half empty kind of position to look at it, because I choose to see it as, yes, I work a lot, but I also get to go get a nail appointment at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I miss the, 5 o'clock rush in the nail salon. Or I get to make my own schedule every day. And if I want to take a run at 8 a.m. because the weather's perfect, I can do that. So for me, that works really well. And to me, I don't see any of this as a burden. This is a life that I've curated intentionally that I love. And I do squeeze a lot into 24 hours. And so I'm proud of all of this. And this is what I think is, it was overdue that I come to How You Get There with a happy attitude, because it's been a hard couple of weeks in my world with so many good things, with some struggle amidst the change. And I always want to come here authentically. And sometimes that means talking about the woes and just admitting when I'm having a moment. But I also want to dig down and even show up here and use this as a tool to remind myself what is going right, what is going good, what I've worked on, what I know that I want to share that's happy, positive, helpful, that I still need to have as a reminder in my own life. Okay. So anyways, back to what I've got going on. So I'm a full-time mortgage lender. Me and my husband, Chad, have rentals. So I am also a full-time property manager. We right now don't outsource any of that. So all of that's me. Bookkeeping, landlord, all of that, you know, is me. Chad's a great supervisor. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, so I do that. I'm super involved in my church. I teach preschool at Purpose Church in Murray on Sunday mornings, and then I try to stay active in a small group and different, you know, any kind of community service events we do. Like, I love serving with my church, and so I always try to make time for that. I'm a runner, so I am always making time or trying to make time, figuring out how I'm going to make time to train for a race. I love food. Love food and cooking so much. I have a Real Foods Rachel Instagram account that is solely devoted to what I'm cooking, what I'm buying, all of that. Oh yeah, I forgot. I have a podcast. Seriously, kind of kidding. Not really, though, because I'm making this big, long list and it just hit me. Oh, yeah, that's new this year. That's a huge time commitment. And with that, I also have other social media accounts that I am pretty active on and put time into about building communities there through my work Instagram, Rachel_Denson_MLO. And then, you know, just showing up regularly, like a lot of people out there on my personal account, connecting with friends. I am a sorority advisor, and so I make time to help with my sorority. And then I also, like, you know, like normal people, I want to have a life. So I have friends that I make time for. I go do things. I love to travel. And so all of that adds up, and a lot of people probably look at me and are like, how in the world do you get through this on a work week? And the truth is, sometimes I ask myself that very same question, and there are weeks where what I'm about to tell you, like, all goes out the window. I think there's people that talk about, like, oh, I have had a day where I've, like, not done anything I was supposed to, not, you know, logged my water, meals, you know, whatever. I don't just have days. I have weeks. I have, you know, there have been months for me. So all of this that I'm about to share with you about how do I run my day, how you get there, day-to-day edition is what I'm calling it, is in my perfect world. It's the goal. It is the constant pursuit of what I'm figuring out. When these things work, I am my best self. I am feeding myself. I am, like, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually, you know, metaphorically feeding myself, all the things, and not just showing up for other people and other commitments, but also myself. And these are tips and tricks I've learned along the way, along with some really fun tools that I really wanted to focus on, free options and not just stuff that you have to pay for to utilize, that for me has worked really well for me. And other people may not, you know, there are people that may not relate to any of it. There's some that you may relate to certain parts. And so my goal is to just share the whole gamut and hope that you piece together and find a nugget that leads you to another nugget that really something works for you. So here's my first tip. I love a good mental reset. I am a huge fan of feeling a clean slate energizes me. So I really enjoy a Sunday of preparation, of getting my mind right. And I treat I see every week as a new opportunity and a clean slate. Yes, you can get things together on a Wednesday. You know, I'm not saying there's power in the day, but for me, I acknowledge that the best chance I have at sticking with my habits and my priorities all week is really preparing on a Sunday. And it is 100% true that every single Sunday that I prepare, I have better, at least Mondays, if not better weeks altogether. So don't underestimate the power of preparation and learning and intentionally thinking through all of the things. I know one of the things I've thought about is, do I even know what my ideal morning looks like? Do I know what my ideal day looks like? If you can't answer that question, and I think there's one, it's one thing to be able to answer it, but can you write it down? Can you articulate what exactly you're after? And when you're wanting to balance a lot of things or make time for priorities that are not to-dos, but could-dos, to me, this is a big, powerful point at figuring out, reading it, seeing it from a perspective outside of just jumbled up in your brain about what you're after. So then you can work your way backwards from there about how do I accomplish it. The other thing is really knowing yourself better. I know I've talked about this on several episodes, but I truly mean it when I say there have been some books that have really changed my life. The Four Tendencies was one of them. I think I've talked more on here about understanding other people in the Four Tendencies, but the Four Tendencies really helped me understand myself in a whole new way. So the Four Tendencies, there's four of them: upholder, obliger, rebel, and questioner. For me, I'm an upholder, and I highly recommend the book, listening to it, reading it, because it's going to explain it better than I can. But essentially, it just evaluates how do you handle internal and external expectations. Well, the biggest group in our world is obligers. So obligers readily meet external expectations and struggle meeting internal expectations. As an upholder, I readily meet internal and external expectations. So I'm good with external accountability, but if I set my mind to something, I'm going to do it and I don't need additional external accountability. Like, that doesn't help my success rate at all. As an upholder, which is one of the smallest tendencies, I think it's second smallest next to the rebel tendency. As an upholder, I struggled relating to people when it came to people joining these, almost the opposite of like joining these fitness groups and buying these plans and participating with all the other people in the group. Like, that did nothing for me. And I didn't understand why until I read the Four Tendencies. And then I realized, like, this is just how I'm wired. So especially with things that are not, that nobody else is really expecting of me, like when it comes to like my priorities, my beliefs, my values, when it comes to fitness, caring for my body with what I eat, my passion projects like this podcast and running and gardening, like nobody else is expecting that of me. And so almost like placeholder expectations, like those groups and stuff, it just felt for me like one more chore to do. And even since I've learned about the Four Tendencies, I still find myself falling into thinking like that's going to work for me on that stuff. And then I just remember it just doesn't. Like, I've started group texts with like just four people and said, okay, we're going to update each other whenever we do these things. And it's like, that does not make me feel any more obligated to do it. It really doesn't. It just feels like one more thing I have to do. And I don't have time to do one more thing that I have to do like that. And I even find myself doing it and just not even updating in the group because I know I've done it. That's all that matters to me is that I've done it. So that was one of those, that's my spiel on that, kind of the opposite, I think, of what I've talked about on here about understanding other people, but really understanding myself and understanding that I have got to find tools. I have got to figure out my priorities and really get myself on the same page with just me about what matters, because I just need to chug along. I want to just make up my mind and do what I have to do, and no kind of group check-in, none of that motivates me. And so I learned, and I'm still learning, that I really need to let that go because it just adds more homework to my plate. The other big bucket of running a life where you are getting your day to day done and making time for what you really care about. Because I think everybody can relate to that. Everybody's got the must-dos, non-negotiables that you're responsible for during your day. But people that are listening to How You Get There are more than likely people that have a nugget in their mind of something that they would like to make more time for or something that they would like to fulfill their life with. Because really, that is the audience that How You Get There is about. That's our community. And so those things have got to be squeezed in and your life has got to be organized to make time for those. Because the secret is you're never eventually going to be less busy. That's the secret. It's never going to get easier. Your life is not going to slow down. If you say, oh, whenever this gets done, then I'll do this, you're never going to get to it because there will always be something. And that is a mantra in my life in itself. And I am still struggling through this life cycle of figuring out a plan, executing said plan. Said plan works for a while, and then I get busy and something happens, and then I let go of said plan. And then I go, like I told you, a few weeks of failing about these fundamentals that help me until I have a teetotal meltdown and then have to do what I said. I love a good reset and figure it out. Because you have got to accept the reality of your situation. So, with that in mind, the power of squeezing things in is a key. And I'll let you in on a little secret about what I want to expand on more next week, because we are coming up on a very, very special anniversary in my life. And I want to talk to you, talk to you more about it then, but you need to ask yourself for you, and I'm going to answer this question next week for me, what is something that is taking away extra time in your life or sucking energy out of you for the free time that you have to not be putting the energy where you really want it? What is that in your life? Because I know I have the same 24 hours in my day as everybody else. And I know that I have to make my dreams happen, to make what matters to me. And when I say dreams, I mean the little dreams, y'all. I mean getting to run my 5K and feel good in a few weeks. I mean knowing to go into bed knowing I've eaten vegetables today. My dreams are simple dreams. There's dreams of taking care of myself and knowing I've honored what I say I value. In a summary. So when I say dreams, I'm just meaning like, let's call what you really want your day to look like a dream. Because if you're not doing it, it's not your reality. It is a dream. So when you're wanting to live that way, you've got to harness the power of squeezing things in. Every minute has to be intentional. And that's why I think that there's value in asking yourself, what is an ideal morning routine? For me, I know I've talked about on here, an ideal morning routine is feeling less reactive the second I wake up, but feeling like when my feet hit the floor, I've given myself the time to have my morning filled with the intentionality of essentially paying myself first and knowing that if everything else in my day goes awry, my top priorities at least got handled before I even started, quote unquote, my day. Part of squeezing things in is the first piece about what is holding you back. What is keeping you from doing that? I'll give you some examples. Are you a doomed scroller? Do you know that you can't have a limit on your phone? If you immediately start, does 20 minutes go away? Do 2 hours melt away? If you can't manage that, I would advise you cutting it out. Get 30 days. cutting it out for 30 days and seeing how much time you get back. Same thing for TV. I talk a lot about on my social media, I don't know if I've talked about it as much here, that I love a good repeat show because it allows me to have some noise while I cook, but I realize that I can't be fully present into TV. And if I don't want it to suck me in and keep me from doing my laundry or doing my bills or doing whatever I'm, you know, doing and letting it be background noise, then like, I just can't watch new TV. So there's only like two new shows that I watch because I only have, you know, about two different 60-minute segments to stay caught up on something, especially during the summertime. And I know myself in the sense that I'm a binger, like good, bad, ugly, indifferent. Like that is my personality. I'm all or nothing. So I would much rather just enjoy a whole TV show on in a one weekend setting when Chad and I have nothing to do and like we do wild out and stay up until midnight watching TV. Like I would just much rather watch it all at once than stay caught up. Now I know that there is some value in like a social experience of watching something with people. I love that. That's one of my like the most things that I miss about when I released The Bachelor Nation from my life. I felt like I lost 3 hours of quality time with friends because that's the why I enjoyed it. Because I was talking to people about it the whole time I watched. So, I mean, but that's the reality, y'all. There's give and take. There's not going to be anything that you probably release that doesn't release some kind of positive thing to it. There are some that I can think of that probably fall into that category. But like, you know, for me, being less involved in what used to be one of my favorite TV shows did come with some sadness. It came with a closing of a season of connecting with friendships that way. But you can connect with your friendships in a different way. And when I look back and I think, would I want to talk to that person 30 minutes about people that we don't know from Adam or really catch up through voice memo while I'm unloading my dishwasher and actually talk about my life, listen to their life, what's more fruitful? Personally, what aligns with my values is the latter. So evaluate those things because if you can't give yourself an inch, you may just need to cut it out and evaluate what time you get back. I love the power that audio has to help you squeeze things in. Audio is one of the biggest game changers when I was thinking this episode through and trying to really even articulate to myself, how do I do this? Like, what tools do I utilize to be able to move from one thing to the other? And audio is a constant key and is another high level thing before I get into my four segments of advice that will be next. But the power of connecting with people, whether it be live people that you know in your life or live people like me in your earbuds or off your Alexa with a podcast, an audiobook, the power of audio is real. It is so easy to multitask. And I have to remind myself sometimes when you're listening to something on audio, the beauty is too, you can re-listen. If you zone out and miss 3 minutes, I know I always am the queen of backing up. Or I have to remind myself, okay, I have this book. I paid for it. It's in my Audible. I can listen to it over and over again. I can listen to it more than once. My friends and I lately I've really started connecting with people through voice memo more. Voice memo is where it's at. If you don't know how to use it, I highly recommend it. It is just as efficient, if not more efficient than a text message, because I know I can talk quicker than I can type. And I think it doesn't lose the value of the emotional intentionality that you can articulate and that you can receive hearing somebody explain something about what's going on in their life. I know my friend Adrian and I, we use an app called Voxer, and it's essentially like a walkie-talkie. It's a free app, and we voice memo back and forth. Now, the only thing that I don't like about Voxer is that you have to hold down the talk button. It's like essentially, you know, like the old school walkie-talkie where you push it down and talk and then let it go. So that's the downfall, that, you know, I have to be holding my phone, because I know sometimes you on Apple Voice Memo, you can just click record and then let it go and it lets you record. But it's harder to like start and stop in voice memos, and they, if you don't press the right button, they go away. Voxer, it just like is looks like a text chain of our voice memos back and forth. So, and you can drag and drop really easily. So I know Adrian, she's got two little ones, and we're never naturally free at the same time. So we can't talk on the phone a lot, but we want to keep up. That requires way more than just text. And like this morning, I sent her a 10-minute Voxer while I was having my morning coffee, because she was like, "Hey, what's going on in your life? Like, what, you know, tell me an update." And I was like, "Oh, well, actually, this is all that's going on." And I gave her the rundown of just what I've been going through, some of the things that has been happening. And I actually was watching that she was listening to me as I was talking. But I know that I didn't have time to talk for 30 minutes, but it was actually really comforting to know, like, as I'm getting emotional, telling her some stuff that's happening, she's actually listening to me. And that was so comforting in itself, even though I knew like she probably doesn't have time to respond to me right now. I don't really have time to listen to her response. Like, I've already given this 10 minutes during my coffee. I got to move on to my next thing. It is so powerful. I love it. So that's, I highly recommend audio for so many reasons. So that's the friendship and multitask reason for audio. The other thing is learning on the go. The last thing I need is like homework to go read a nonfiction book. By the time I'm sitting down, the last thing I want to do truly is to pick up a nonfiction book to read. And I'm realizing that more is one of my things for my 24 for 24 list, is to get through my nonfiction book stack. That's why I'm struggling with it. I love listening to experts. I don't like reading experts. And it is much more, there's this obstacle there that is like arbitrary as it is. The reality is it is there, and it's a big struggle for me. So personally, I know that I am going to remember moving forward. Anytime I need to learn something, I'm going to Audible, an audio book source to listen. And Audible costs money, but let me tell you guys, what doesn't cost money is the public library. They are your friend. The public library does not just have actual books now. They have audiobooks and ebooks that you can check out for 2 weeks at a time and then digitally return. My favorite free apps for listening to audio is Libby and Hoopla. So you can download both of those. You just put in your information from your library card, and then you get access to this full library. Now, sometimes with very popular audiobooks, there is a line. So like, you may have to wait an extended period of time to listen to something. So this is kind of back to, I know I've talked about this before, of I'm trying to be a lot more cognizant of like, okay, I don't want to spend $9 on this audiobook, but I will go spend $9 at 7 Brew in a blink for like a carbonated water, which I'm really into the 7 Fizz that is blackberry and lavender. It is so good, but it's $4. So like, I'll spend $4 on a flavored water, but I won't buy an audiobook that I can keep forever. Like, let's get our priorities right, Rach. That's at least the logic in my mind. Now, another hack about Audible is that you can usually get some perks if you are kind of in and out of paying for the subscription. So for instance, like I don't have a subscription right now. I just have the books I bought with credit. So when you cancel your subscription with Audible, you do not lose any book you've bought with a credit or any book you've bought in general. So I personally am not subscribed right now to where I'm paying monthly to immediately get a credit. Well, I got an email where for the first 3 months, I could only pay, I think it was like $3.99 a month. It was something really cheap. It's like usually like compared to like, I think the $16 a month or something like that. And so if you are disciplined enough to say, hey, I'll take advantage of that for 3 months and then cancel it, that's personally something I play with all the time because I'm very good at managing, skipping and pausing subscriptions. That is not a thorn in my side. If that's a thorn in your side, once again, self-awareness to know that doesn't work for me. An extra awesome hack is when you have Audible and Kindle Unlimited together, you can buy books that talk back from Kindle Unlimited to Audible. And as a reader, I've been a lover of books for as long as I can remember. I've loved to read. I cannot believe I did not own a Kindle until I was 26 years old. Like, why did I wait that long? Once again, it's investing in tools that make life a pleasure. And that is one of my favorite sayings from Gretchen Rubin. I think hers, she says it is beautiful tools make work a pleasure. I think beautiful tools make life a pleasure. They make anything that you love a pleasure. And so when I personally am thinking about because the reality is we're in a world where you're going to have monetary investment. So when I'm looking at, okay, where am I spending money on my journey of like self-development? If I'm using my Kindle every single night, that makes more sense to me than investing in a class that I maybe halfway attend. You know, I don't know. I think this is what the people are calling girl math. I think this is like just smart, but I do definitely think I'm broaching into girl math territory, but it makes sense. Like, let's, you know, really be thoughtful about what we're investing in. But Kindle Unlimited, yeah, and Audible, they talk to each other. So like I'll listen to a book. Right now I'm listening to Remarkably Bright Creatures. I heard a book review on it 2 years ago and I was like, this book sounds so weird. Now I'm kicking myself that it took me this long to read it. I am obsessed. So that's a totally off topic, just throw in a book recommendation. So, so good. I'm so bummed. Like now that I'm obsessed with it, this is not the first time I've wanted to do this. I will listen to something and love it so much that I can't put it down and then buy it on Kindle because I've got to be able to like start reading it when I'm done listening to it, like it at night. Like I get hooked. And I really think about it after I'm like, oh, should I not? Should I? I'm like, I'm so happy that I have a hobby that I love that is so easy to do anywhere that I'm at any time. And I'm going to let myself have that treat. It can all too often, it can be very easy to get ourselves into this cycle of overanalyzing every single thing we're spending on if we're overspenders. And I have now worked my way through of being thoughtful about all of my purchases to where the work and mental, like the muscle's been strengthened to where the energy is less and the guilt is less too. Because the way I'm thinking about the Kindle, I'm thinking about everything. You know, like for instance, I had a meeting this morning near a Chick-fil-A. And I was like, I could go get to lunch at Chick-fil-A. But then I thought, no, because I could go home where I have food. So I am thinking about all of those things through my whole day. And that may exhaust some people at the thought of that. But I do think that it's after you start doing it, it doesn't feel as exhausting. At least that's been my experience. Because now I really analyze my life like that in second nature. The third bucket that I wanted to talk about today is just health. I'm passionate about health. That doesn't mean I always get it right. And in my world, when I've got a million things going on, I have two big things, and everything else, unless I'm in a specific season of like trying and, you know, committing to a whole 30 or something like that, I've got two things, two bars, two metrics. I want to keep it as simple as possible. And here they are. The first one is, have I ate a vegetable today? It's the truth. Like, if I can say I've ate a vegetable today, I'm giving myself the W. Because unfortunately, there are, especially in seasons where I'm stressed, I am running in five different directions. For me, I know my diet is the first thing to go. And I know I've talked about this before, but you know, at this point in my life, it is not about physical confidence and food choices equaling physical confidence equaling a goal there. I am personally in a spot where I'm very happy with where I'm at on the surface level. I am way more connected to longevity, long-term health, truly nurturing my body. So for me, if I've eaten my vegetables, that is what matters, because I am just about the nutrients. And that in my life, when I have got a lot going on, that's what I can manage. I cannot expect myself, like my boundary with myself is releasing food prep. You know, I talk about release or recommit. This week's release is, and that's been released in my life, is the idea that I'm going to meal prep. I am not a meal prepper. I love to cook. I love the feeling of coming home and unwinding and having a flavored water or a juice, like something not typical during my normal day, a ginger ale, you know, whatever it is. I love coming home and pouring myself something fun to drink and putting on my apron and getting out all my stuff and cooking and watching a TV show. That is my happy place. I don't want to meal prep. I am in a season where I don't have to meal prep. And so for me, that's not a metric that aligns with my goals and my lifestyle. So I'm not making that as a win or a lose or a metric of how my day goes, because it's not reasonable. I encourage you to really analyze, like, what is that in your life? Because there's a lot of opinions in health. Adrienne, I'm talking about you a lot this week. Oh, I just love you. She sent me this reel about this guy that was like trying to make a menu about what he was supposed to eat. And like every single reel was like, you should not be eating this. Like, this is what is bad for you. And it's like, you know, you got to accept in health, like, somebody out there is on the internet that thinks that whatever you're doing is absolutely wrong. Like, there will be somebody that fundamentally disagrees with you at every single corner. So you have just got to figure that out. The fun free tip for my health sector is an app called Water Llama. And I forget, you're able to see me on YouTube. So I'm going to throw up my phone. So on my home screen, I have a widget from the Water Llama app. So Water Llama is a free app, and it is a way to track your water, any kind of liquid intake. It is something that I have realized, it's not external accountability. Like, nobody sees it. Nobody knows I have it, because that's not what motivates me. What motivates me is me. So for me, what motivates me is seeing their fun little characters. So today I have a peacock. I have a peacock. And if you drink to your water goal, your peacock or whatever your animal is, it's usually a llama. That's the main one, water llama, hence. The llama turns the color and it's fun. So there's a main app, but then you can also fix it to where it's a widget on your home screen. So like I have mine set up to where I can put in that I've drank 8 ounces of water as soon as I drink 8 ounces of water. And it's on the front screen of my phone. So I know when I look at it, oh, like, have I drank water since I've picked up my phone last? It's been a really helpful tool for me. That's the other, because water is my second bucket. It's have I eaten a vegetable and how much water have I drank? If I'm doing those two things, Rachel's getting a W for her day for the health in the health sector. I personally paid to be, I think it's like a lifetime member of Water Llama. It was like $6 and I get to shuffle my characters. So on the app, then you can choose what either your character is like and just permanently pick it, or you can go on a shuffle and get a new one every day. Anytime you reach your water goal, you gain a character. So right now I have 11. There are 33. So once again, it's fun. It's simple. It is just adding some joy, adding some beauty into trying to track my water. Because for me, a fun little animal that, like, they're funny because, like, for instance, there's a beluga whale. She's my favorite. She's got like a trucker hat and a camera on her. She's like a little tourist. It's so cute. The bear has a little ball cap on. The octopus has on, oh, my favorite, a bucket hat. Yes. The octopus has on a cheetah bucket hat or a zebra, black and green zebra bucket hat. I mean, this is what goes on in my mind, y'all. That's all I can say. If you're hanging out with me at minute 43, you're a trooper because I have really digressed here into the water llama world. Final section of running your day-to-day edition, how you get there day-to-day edition is focusing. I am horrible at focusing on the one thing at hand. That is definitely the hardest part of spinning a lot of plates, is realizing that I can't multitask. I've got to be focused on my one thing, but then realize I've got to be efficient to be able to move on to my next thing. I also cannot live without a schedule. And I have realized and will be transparent that the last probably 6 weeks, I've not been making my schedule like I used to. I decided that I turned a good corner with realizing how I needed to organize my day, about more so into buckets and more so into, okay, if I can just make time for like doing this kind of stuff in this hour and this stuff during these hours, that was going to work for me. Poor execution. I never executed it. And I can see of how I have spiraled into the place that I got to this week, which is not feeling like I was making time for anything else that mattered to me, because it can be so easy if you don't have, or at least for me, if I don't have black and white plans of when I'm starting and stopping different tasks, I will just keep trudging on with my must-dos and never pause to rotate to my other plates, for lack of a better word, that matter to me. And that's the only way you're going to make time for it. Back to, it's never going to get easier. So the only way is to not just squeeze it in, but also to block it off and to accept that there are days where you may come to your desk with more work from the day prior because you made a calculated choice to have 2 hours on something that wasn't email related for your job. You know, whatever that looks like for you. I want to speak high level to everybody that can be, I think that these three things can be executed across the board. So the first is another free tip. Your phone, if you have an iPhone at least, you have an accessory setting for accessibility that changes your color filters to grayscale. You can add this as a quick access on your drop down on your home screen. or on your, when you swipe down, when you see like airplane mode, Wi-Fi, all that. So I am able to do this when I do it. It's as a visual reminder. Like if you're on YouTube, you see my phone is black and white right now. And then if I go to accessory mode, it goes back to color. This, when I go into grayscale, this is my black and white reminder that I am in work mode, that I am not to be browsing the internet. I know my cell phone is my work phone. So I'm notorious for getting on my phone to text a client. And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, I'm on Facebook. I'm like, how did I even get here? When my phone is in black and white, I am significantly more cognizant of what I'm doing, why I'm supposed to be on my phone, because the internet is not as fun if you're used to color and it's in black and white. And it just is enough of a visual cue for my brain to remember quicker, oh yeah, this is not what I'm about right now. I'm in work mode, not fun. You know, I'm focusing. The other thing is customize your do not disturb settings. Customize when your like how your notifications come through. Once again, good and bad here. Yes, the reality is you're not going to see stuff as quick, but you have got to accept, is this adding more value than it's bringing? Is it hurting me more than it's helping me? For me, I cannot handle the notifications. I do not wear a smartwatch anymore because I could not focus on anything with it buzzing. Nothing, no amount of settings was sufficient for it to work. At that point, it didn't even serve its purpose. I'm wearing a smartwatch and I'm not letting it be smart. Why am I even doing that? And it would be all too easy to, if I was antsy, to get on there and check it. So I'm a non-notifications girly. Now that doesn't mean you have to be, but it has changed the game and me being able to feel more in control of my day and not reactive all day long, because I don't have a smartwatch. I don't put my email notifications do not come through to my phone. And I have even changed my settings on my computer that my new mail doesn't flag through as a ribbon on the bottom of my screen. So if I don't have my Outlook open, I don't know that I've gotten the emails. And I think we live in a society where we think things are supposed to be instantaneous on communications. And I'm rewriting that narrative for myself. It is not. It is not. The only time I'm going to commit to being live and answering you immediately if I accept your call and I'm 100% present with you on the phone or on a Zoom call or, you know, whatever that may be. If I'm live with you, you know I'm showing up live with you, because if I have 5 million notifications going off, I'm never able to give what I'm giving attention to, which is usually a person, whether it be a person on the phone or on video, or a person being that I'm working on somebody's home loan, somebody's ability to get financing for their house. I cannot give that my full attention and focus if I've got 5 million notifications coming up. And anymore, I batch answering my text messages. I check text like I text email these days. And it is, once again, a give and take of, I realize that I'm in a season of life of that is the only way I'm going to intentionally respond to people or get anything done. If I pick up my phone every single time it buzzes, I'm getting nowhere. So even to add to a final layer of notifications is I use my business D&D all the time. My business D&D lets calls come through, but it silences all my other notifications. So when I have a finite time at my desk that's supposed to be time for my files, that means I can't be answering people's questions in text. I've got to get to my files, because then I'm going to move back to, okay, I've got 15 minutes. I'm going to answer all of my text all at once. And that's the only way I get through. So truly, I've buried the lead here. 51 minutes in, to me, the biggest secret sauce in Rachel's world of how do you do all the things that you do, it is that you have got to learn to manage the technology and make it be a tool in your hand that you love and not kryptonite that's controlling your whole entire day. Well, that's it for this week on How You Get There. Thank you for joining me and letting me overload you probably with ideas about how to optimize, make time for what you need to make time for. Tell me what works for you. The only way I figured out these things is from listening to other people or hearing one thing that made me pursue something that made me finally figure out a couple things. I will say, I found Water Llama on my own. So if there's one thing I can claim as my own, it's a Water Llama. But nonetheless, I am so excited if you're hanging out with me at this point that you've listened to all of this. I geek out on this stuff. This is what I want to hear from other people. So I'm super glad that I finally sat down and explained this to everybody that's listening and really kind of reminded myself of what works for me, because sometimes that's what it takes to get your mind right, to be ready to tackle on new challenges, new strategies, new curves in the road, and keep focusing and prioritizing on all the things that you love, that matter to you, that make you, you. Have a great week. Live intentionally. Live joyfully. We'll see you next week. Thank you for joining me this week. I hope this episode met you where you were at and it's given you your own clarity on steps forward for how you get there. Wherever and whatever that is, it is important and your dreams matter. I would love to hear what you think of this episode and how you get there. You can connect with me personally via email at howyougetthere@gmail.com. Or you can find me at Rach Ross Denson on Instagram, TikTok, and all other social media platforms. If you love How You Get There, I have a favor to ask. Will you share this episode with a friend and take a few seconds to follow, rate, and review How You Get There wherever you listen to your podcast? Please know you are playing a part in making my dream come to life. And for that, I am so grateful. Don't forget, if where you want to go in the future involves a home loan, I would love to help you. Find me on Instagram at @RachelDenson_MLO to learn all about mortgages from my videos, or use the link in the bio to schedule a one-on-one consultation with me. I hope to see you back here next week, where we'll keep talking all about how you get there.